Harry, this paper is essentially about the calculation of transformation texture. There's vast literature on this subject, so what is the new contribution here?
You're quite right. There is a lot of work on the calculation of transformation texture. Unfortunately, in the context of displacive transformations, there are important mathematical inconsistencies in previous work.
What inconsistencies were these?
Well, you know, it's a combination of approximations and mistakes. One example of a mistake is when the deformation accompanying transformation is taken to be the Bain strain instead of an invariant plane strain. This leads to an incorrect interaction energy, an incorrect orientation relationship, and an incorrect transformation strain.
The Bain strain is the one which transforms an austenite lattice into a martensite lattice.
Yes, that's right. It is the lattice deformation, but it isn't the complete story. There must, in addition, be a rigid body rotation and a shear, which leads to the macroscopically observed shape change when martensite or bainite form.
So how did you deal with that problem?
Well, we used the crystallographic theory, which was established around 1950s, to work with a mathematically connected set of data to describe each plate of martensite. So the orientation, the shape deformation, the habit plane, and the displacement direction are then unique for each plate. We do not, for example, begin with an assumption of a Kirchhoff-Sachs type orientation relationship, which is generally inconsistent with the theory because it doesn't produce an invariant line.
And how does this help determine the texture?
Well, we then go on to calculate the interaction energy between an applied system of stresses and each martensite plate, essentially using the Patel and Cohn method. Those variants where the energy is favorable are allowed to grow and contribute to the transformation strain.
And you verified these calculations with experiments?
Yes, using electron backscattered diffraction and orientation imaging, but also using dielectrometry, because in our model the transformation strains are automatically predicted.
So it's possible to monitor the development of texture just by measuring the length change of the sample?
Yes, that's correct. Especially, you know, if you can measure the strains along all of the principal axes, that would be a very powerful way of monitoring texture.
In your paper, you have to make some arbitrary assumptions about the fraction of each variant that forms. Is that right?
Yes, you're right. This is an unsolved problem, and we have suggested a way forward by considering the ratio of the mechanical to chemical driving forces controlling the fraction of each variant that forms. But it's early days as yet, because the relationship we obtained is empirical.
And also, you've not dealt with the effect of any prior deformation in the austenite.
Yes, thanks for pointing that out. The work is limited to the thermodynamic effect of stress.
Okay, thank you very much.
That went well.